Well, good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for listening in. And also, if you would like to call in or send us an email or a tweet or any of the multitude of ways we have of communicating nowadays, well, you can do that too. 414-1234 is the local phone number. If it's long distance from you to us, it's 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And you can zap us a tweet here at WFSU Perspective. Were you watching TV? Channel 27 is the local ABC affiliate here in Tallahassee, Comcast Channel 7. This past Tuesday night, around 9 o'clock, did you see the Tallahassee gentleman who appeared on that program? His name is Rod Durham. He is a teacher at Tallahassee's Leon High School, and not too long ago, he determined he was going to, as we said at the outset, lose a few hundred pounds, and is well on his way to achieving that goal. And we're just so fortunate to be able to have him on today, along with someone who's helping him in that regard to head towards that achievement, who is Kim Bebo of Sweat Therapy Fitness right here in Tallahassee. Didn't recognize you off your bike, Kim.
Oh, I know. I don't get off it very often.
Not very often, no, but I know you've been helping this guy get on the bike more often than perhaps he ever had thought possible. And, Roger, it is just a delight and an honor to have you here.
This is an honor. This is a total pleasure, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Well, before we get into anything else, the whole story and the saga and everything else, you kind of made note of it when the big weigh-in took part in Los Angeles here on Tuesday night that everyone was watching and hearing. That was pre-recorded. That was not a live thing that went on
right
there. But you referenced the fact that you just had never imagined having this kind of attention showered on you. And that in itself has got to be a life-changing thing.
I mean, it's just overwhelming. The outpouring of the love and the support not only since the show has aired, but all during this whole year, especially from our town here in Tallahassee. It's just I'm lucky and blessed, and I don't know if people get to have this, you know, every day. It was and is an unforgettable experience for me.
Well, let's go back to the beginning here. Because you had even mentioned on the program that you had a lot of it was a certain self-image that you had of yourself, you know, happy-go-lucky Rod. And, man, you know, the kids, of course, at Leon just love you to death. I've talked to some of your students, and they just said, oh, man, Mr. Durham is the bomb. He's just totally cool. But if I may say, the happy fat man. And that's the way you thought of yourself for so long.
Without a doubt, the jolly kind of Santa-esque is what I said. Big guy. And I am that. Intrinsically, I am a positive, I think, Tom, happy person. But we use the word the mask because there are times when I'm not. And I felt like I had to be, almost putting on a show sometimes. In my psyche, I didn't want to bring people down. I didn't want, you know, if I was in a bad place, I don't feel like other people have to be there. But sometimes it wasn't even that. It was just, you know, sometimes you just want to chill and you just want to be kind of in whatever headspace you are. And I would be like positive on the overdrive, just kind of like, hey, everybody, yeah, that kind of thing. And so it just got to be exhausting and not always me. I couldn't be authentic, I didn't think. And that's my word of the year, authentic.
Yeah, because you had that additional distance that you could keep from people.
Yeah,
right?
Without a doubt. And when I got picked for the show, I'll never forget the creator of the show, J.D. Roth, who created The Biggest Loser also. We were talking and I had kind of told my story because I know how to tell my life story because I'm a drama teacher. And at one point I said, when I'm in my apartment, when I'm in that apartment alone and all the lights are off and the television is off and I've just finished eating some crap that I shouldn't have, I sit there and I think, is this it? Is this all I get? Is this all my life is going to be? And he clapped his hands, Tom, and he said, that's the first real thing you've said in 40 minutes. And I was taken aback, man. I was like, my mouth drew open. It's not easy for me to tell total strangers about my life. And everybody on the panel just kind of looked at him, right? They just looked at him. And he said, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's like that guy that just got through talking. I love that guy. I want to go drinking with that guy. That guy is a great storyteller. I bet everybody loves that guy, don't they? But I'm not interested in that guy because that guy's not real. Why do you think at 49 years old that all you get in your life and all you have to do is settle for basically being unhappy? Where does that come from? And that was the beginning of the year that changed my life. So,
but that you also had to go on to the panel to aspire to be on the program. What tripped the trigger for you to say, okay, I'm going for this?
You know what? More than anything, I think it was I was turning 50. And I adore my parents, Marcellus and Gwen Durham, and they're awesome people, but they have had health issues recently. And my parents were the healthiest kind of people that you'd ever meet. And they were – my dad turns 80 this year. My mother is 76. But they were like the traveling people going on cruises and always up and down the road. And then my mother had a stroke 4 years ago, which changed everything in my family, my immediate family. And then my father the next year lost use of his legs. And so I was 49 years old, and I thought I was about to turn 50, which was a milestone. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I just thought, you know, I had been living so long with thinking that the best years of my life were behind me. And I wanted to I just wanted to be different, you know. But I will tell you, I had carried that weight around for decades, literally 25 years, I think. I was in the 300s, I mean the late 300s, early 400s, and so in pounds. And so I think it was the fact of turning 50 was what made the difference for me.
Now, Kim, how did you get involved into the remaking of Rod Durham? How did you get into part of that whole effort?
Well, that's an interesting story. We have a mutual friend that we call an angel. Her name is Linda Teague. I had been training her for about a year, and she said to me one day, you know, I think there's a guy that I'd really love for you to meet. I think you would have a really good connection and could help him. He struggles with his weight, and he's such a lovable, nice guy, and I'm really concerned for his health. You know, and with I call it my issues of being overweight. You know, I know that you know people have to be ready. You can't push them. And I just said, you know, well, you know, maybe invite him to one of our training sessions, and you know, just if he's ready, you know, just bring him. And nothing else was said. And then, you know, probably a couple of months later, she said to me, you know, that guy, she never said his name. You know, the guy I was telling you about? Well, he's going to be on one of those weight loss shows. I didn't know which show. And so I responded to her. Well, you know, when they get off of that show or whatever they do, because I didn't know anything about what they did. And I said, he's going to need a place to come, you know, so maybe he'll come then. And I guess 3 or 4 weeks, this very large African-American man, and I'll say it, Rod, I mean, you know it too. You wobbled in.
Yep.
You know, it was funny because we look at the way he used to walk compared to now and stand and breathe. Even talk.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, are you?
Yeah.
And we just had an immediate connection.
Yeah.
Linda was right.
No, without it. I mean, it's I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it took me forever to get in there. Linda had said several times, Rod, are you going to go? Are you going to go and see Kim? Yeah, I'm going to. Okay, yeah. And but when I walked in there, she just, you know, just the energy of Kim Bebo. And she was just, I don't know. Maybe because Kim has been through it, you know what I mean? So she's a person who has been through the struggle. Where sometimes you go to gyms and people are very professional and very awesome, but they've never been big. You know, they've never been fat or overweight. So they know about nutrition. They know about the body. Chris Powell will tell you that. When I met him, he said, you know, I will never know what you guys have all gone through. Kim does know what we've been through because she's been through it.
Yeah. And remember Abby showed you around,
yes.
Abby Crane.
Abby Crane is the best. And she's the reason why, because Kim had had a training session, I think. So Abby actually showed me all of the areas of sweat therapy. And she was so positive. I'm like, if somebody loves working here that much, maybe I'll check this place out because the girl who works here is like, I was just like, okay.
Yeah. So. You know, and I tell people this all the time. I would much rather like sit on my couch and watch TV. But and that's why it's important for me and us to make exercise fun. You know, and that we want to do it. And I have an I'm a little ADD, so nothing's ever the same.
Right.
But it's always for the same result.
Oh, my goodness. That was, yes. Making it fun was crucial for me to have success. Changing things up. Kim can take you to a playground, and you can have, like, the most intense workout ever with, like, the swing set. You know what I mean? And the balance beam and the little, like, turning, spinning thing. You know, it was just – she just made it. And the beginning especially, we do something different every time. Sometimes we would just walk. And walking was essential in losing this weight. And talking – we call it – when we go walking, we say, let's go solve the problems of the world. And that's what we do. We go walk and solve the problems of the world.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a whole bunch of, you know, specialized equipment and sophisticated techniques and all that sort of thing. So.
No, just, you know, just move your body.
Right.
Find something you do. And, you know, all the trainers at Sweat Therapy, you know, we just – Rod just – at first, as we said on the show, and, you know, on reality shows, you always kind of know what's real and what isn't. Well, the little scene that I had was definite real.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We'd make appointments, and he would, like, I need to go do this, or I've got this, you know, just like we always do.
I need
you
to
know?
Clean my apartment.
Yeah, I got to clean my apartment.
I got to wash my hair.
I had to go deliver the favorite was like, he was supposed to be there. I called him up. I was like, where are you? And he's like, oh, my God, I'm driving to – I thought it was Destin, but it was Fort Walton. I have to deliver a drama check or the students aren't going to be able to perform. And I'm like, what? What?
But we had a date.
That's
yeah.
Right.
You don't understand.
It's all about me,
that's
Ron.
Right.
That's
right.
And then something clicked. I don't know what happened. Was
I don't
it,
either.
Was it Chris coming to your house and talking to you?
No, because we clicked before they came.
Yeah,
I started – maybe because I finally came and it was great. You know
well,
I mean?
Every time you would come, when you – and I pointed this out, you would stress getting there and you'd be like, ugh, you know. But when you left, you always had a big smile on your face and you're always like, oh, my gosh, I feel so much better. I'm so glad I came.
Yes.
And I was like, that's what you got to home in on.
That's right.
Not the just get there,
right,
you know,
right.
Just
– Every time.
You've got to get that adrenaline and endorphins and everything
right.
else pumping there.
Right.
To, yeah.
Right.
We're talking to a gentleman who is now a TV star, Rod Durham, teacher at Tallahassee's Leon High School, who was on ABC Television's program Extreme Weight Loss this week. And we're ready to take your calls if you'd like to chat with Rod at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll get to those calls when Perspectives returns. Roger and Kim Bebo here with a look at how to lose weight painlessly. Here on Perspective, sort of a different approach for us here. 414-1234, the number to call, which is the number that Devonte called and has been patiently on hold ever since. Hi, Devonte. Thanks for calling Perspectives.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man. Go ahead.
It's Devonte, actually, but it's okay.
Devonte, okay, man. They didn't give me a pronouncer on here. Sorry.
Okay. I just want to say, man, Durham, I am beyond extremely proud of you, man. Just all the years I've known you, I've known that there's been a struggle, but you're always looking to help the next person. And just like I was, well, I'm kind of upset that I couldn't help as much, but you were just ridiculously motivating, and I'm just so proud of you.
Javonte, I can't believe it's you, by the way. Hello, how are you doing, buddy? It's been a long time. Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, buddy.
There's going to be tests. There's going to be challenges. That's just how it is when, you know, something big is going to happen for you. And I just want to just keep going, man. Don't stop helping life no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just keep moving, man.
Thank you so much.
I just wish you the best for helping, man.
Thanks, Javonte.
Well, I appreciate that. Rod, how important is that, though, to have that constant kind of feedback?
It is everything. Tom, it is everything. It is. Kim and I were just talking on the way over here, and that is what keeps me going more than anything. I said this to her. I always do better with a boss. There are some people who can like be motivated, you know, and from the inside, and their spirit talks to them, and I'm always better if I'm accountable to somebody. And so I'm accountable to her. I'm accountable to these students. Which in turn makes me accountable to me. But to hear that I made a difference in lives, and to hear that people want me to continue to do it means I got to do it. Yeah. I got to do it anyway. So
yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't get to 450 pounds,
right?
And you said that on the show,
yes.
But the fact that you got there, and you are in this wonderful town, and you have these wonderful resources, children,
yes,
that we've talked about,
yes,
there is a reason, and I mean, we may not ever know it, but you know, there's something out there that's put you in the place that you are to help make a difference, you know, to the young lives that we, you know, we're fighting this obesity that we all know about.
Yes.
And so, and his connection with the children and the people in this town. And so I'm just proud to be a part of your bubble.
Well, it sounds like you now have, in addition to being a drama teacher, you're a teacher of another kind.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And no longer the drama teacher, actually, at my high school. I teach American literature. I love that subject and I love those kids. But what I was doing, Tom, was, you know, when you're a drama teacher, your day kind of begins at 3:30 when everybody else gets to go home and you have rehearsals and performances. So I would be the last person sometimes to lock up that school at 9:30 at night. And then I'd go eat some fast food. And then I'd end up staying up till almost 1 o'clock in the morning and then have to try to get up at 5:30 and do the same thing. And that did not lend itself to the kind of life that I wanted to have, where I could work out in the afternoon, cook my own food, go to bed at a reasonable hour and get really important rest. People don't think about rest, and rest is like monumental. Kim will tell you, you can do all that other stuff. If you do not allow your body to rest, then you're not going to see results. You have to rest, correct?
Yeah, you have to recover, rejuvenate, you know, 8 hours.
And you
know, and having the discipline. You know, you didn't have any discipline in your life. You know, being a bachelor and, you know, the lifestyle. And, you know, he loves to travel, and he can. He's the guy that can decide, you know, next week I want to go to San Francisco, and he doesn't have to worry about the kids and the spouse and the dogs. You know, your parents,
right,
you have to, but
right,
you have, you know, that people takes a little bit of rearranging.
That's
but
it.
Basically, you're pretty independent. And so it was reining in on that discipline.
Yes.
You know, you can't find yourself at 9 o'clock at night hungry.
Right.
Because you're going to make probably an unhealthy choice.
Correct.
And, you know.
And I can get away with it just this one time. Just this one
time. Oh, that's what you. That is the mantra. That is what you tell yourself.
I love
all
doing
the
it.
Time.
Especially on a Friday, and then I'm going to start Monday. Or I love it when it's like September 1st. Oh, this is on a Monday. And then you're going to start your new diet September 1st on a Monday. So that means like that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday prior to that. Oh, I'm going to eat all this stuff and get it out of my system, because come Monday, I'm not going to want it anymore,
right,
which is crazy.
Right. And then Monday comes in, it's no different.
So. Yeah. So
okay.
It's.
Well, let's talk about that change, though. We'll start with the diet, because, Kim, we can get into the exercise component over here just
diets,
a little bit. But,
yeah.
Everything.
But, okay, no more big bags of Cheetos, no more a couple quarts of Haagen-Dazs. You know, it's all, what, nuts, berries, rocks, and sticks, right?
No, here's the thing. Dr. Holly Wyatt, who was a physician who looked after us on the show. Something she said, I'll never forget. She said, nothing good happens in the chip aisle. Nothing good happens. And if you look at a supermarket, literally, it's the outside corners, the four corners of the outside where all the healthy stuff is, right? The produce, the eggs and cheese, the dairy, all of that is on the out, the meats. And vegetables. That's all on the outside. Up and down to the rows is where all like the, I guess people think the good stuff is, which is can be bad for you. That was my big fear too, which was, I get to eat dandelions and four leaf clovers for lunch and dinner. Delicious, you know. But it really isn't like that. It's you just have to know what is you know, food. Tom, I had to learn that a different food had to become something different to me, because food was not what it is intended to be, which I think can be delicious nourishment and fuel. Food for me was my best friend and my my love and, you know, and the thing that I went to when I was most depressed or really angry or so happy I would celebrate or be angry with food. Yeah. That's what it was. It was like that comfort that I took solace in. And Kim's right, especially living alone, it would happen a lot, you know. So I had to learn what food is intended to be, and I had to then figure out why those behaviors, what was it that would make me get to those places, and why did I run to food? If you're an addict, food addict, which is what I am, addiction, you know, basically you're kind of replacing one addiction with another, but to me it was a healthy addiction. You know, moving my body is a healthy addiction, and eating correctly is healthy. And so you get to kind of experiment with food. You find out what's good, and you find out the caloric intake. But it's not even all of that. You just, to me, you eat more greens. You eat more vegetables, you know. You eat lean proteins, chicken and fish and turkey, some lean red meat if you wanted. I'm not a big dairy person, but you can have that. You can find things like almond milk and those kind of things. Healthy fats are all over the place. Olive oil and avocado and eggs, the yolk in an egg, you know, almonds, that kind of stuff. And a whole list of other things. And you can mix and match them and figure out what goes good. And there are all kinds of Mrs. Dash and Morton's make these
listen,
seasonings.
You have come a long way, baby.
You know, so yeah. you just have to figure out, and it can be really, really good, you know.
And it's not a punishment.
No, and it isn't. That's
not
the thing.
A punishment.
People think it's like, oh, I have to eat some, you know. No, you're not. You really, it's some of that stuff is delicious. You can eat fruit, you know, which can give you the sweet that you need. And if I'm going to be honest, if you want to have a cookie, have a cookie.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have a piece of cake, have a piece of cake. You just don't have three pieces of cake. Yeah. Don't have a half dozen cookie. Don't have a half gallon of ice cream. You know, Kim, tell them what you say. The first take. I love the Kim's. There's a lot of Kimisms.
Yeah.
So you
got
to start writing these down.
You know, if you think about your first kiss or, you know, the first time you see a movie or, you know, just the first. And then let's say you go see that movie again or, you know, it kind of is not the same as that first. You know, I remember my first car, my first bike, my first dog. So that first taste of that cake, I'm a sweet eater. So it's like, oh, you know, it tastes so good. And then that second bite, and that third bite is probably up there. But then after that,
it's all the same.
It's pretty much, it just kind of muddles in.
Yeah, diminishing returns
as
you go there. Yeah.
So, you know, after about two or three bites, just, you know, be done with it. Get up and throw it away or something. You know, but don't deny yourself because you'll find yourself in a closet eating it.
That's right.
You know, and one of the things that I love that Chris, you know, his book is awesome.
Yes.
The Sunday Fun Day.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And it doesn't have to be a Sunday, but look forward to one day a week where, you know what, I'm going to just relax a little bit and I'm going to, you know, have my buttered popcorn. Or I say that because Rod likes to go watch movies and stuff. So, you know, figure out, you know, what wows you, you know, and make sure that you have a little bit, at least, you know, once a week or something. But not to talk myself out of my job, but you cannot out-train a bad diet.
Right.
You know, it starts with the diet. You know, exercise does so much, and we won't even get into that. And it does allow you to eat more and, you know, everything else. But homing in on that diet and learning how to do things differently.
During this process, this journey, I had two different times where I had illnesses. I had a rotator cuff torn, and earlier than that, we had something happened with my foot. I can't remember what it was called. But I could not work out. But in eating correctly, I lost weight. And so I would say, you know, you can work out every day of your life, every day of your life, and gain. You can, and I'm like, no. But you can also lose. And even if you didn't work out, I don't mean that. I love to move the body. That's a whole different thing. But that's just to tell you the importance of the diet.
Oh, yeah. You know, it got to a point where it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to be able to work out this week. The doctor said stay off of it. I'm like, that's fine.
Right.
That's not a, you know, he was like, but, you know, and I'm like, no, I mean, just
Right.
Just it's about the diet, yeah. You know, and you know it's he's come a long way, and you know we're still. Yes. You know, I told you from the beginning that you've got me forever.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, I know the show had you for a year.
Yes.
You know, and they texted us and emailed us every. I mean, they were on him all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and we had to weigh once a week. I had to video him.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting to send the videos mm-hmm. in so they could see it, and you know, and they were into the large weight loss.
Yes.
You know,
the drama.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they the numbers. You know, they were expecting a high weight loss number every week.
I mean, it is a weight loss show. You know, yeah. What I mean, I totally understood that. From the beginning, in a business and all of that.
Yeah, but you were also kind of missing the periodic goals there throughout. Was that discouraging to you? Because they're expecting, you know, hey, you need to be down to, you know, 325 and you're 369. I mean,
the first 3 months I did really well.
You're in a controlled environment.
Exceptionally well, yeah. I mean, to lose 126 pounds in 3 months is insane.
Yeah, really. But they fed you.
But everything was done for me. Yeah. I was told, Kim, if you didn't succeed in that, that meant you were trying not to. That was like you were really working hard not to, because we would get up, we would exercise. Well, we would get up and eat. We ate 30 minutes within the first – you eat within the first 30 minutes of when you wake up. So we would do that. We would exercise. We would eat. We would come home and go to CrossFit for an hour, exercise, then eat. And then we had some time, like 3 hours to ourselves to do whatever we kind of like to do. And then we would eat, and then we would exercise, and then we would exercise and eat and go to bed every day, 3 months.
Boot camp.
Boot camp. We call it fat camp. But boot camp, yes. And
don't use the F word.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that, especially on the radio. Are we on the airwaves? But – boot camp, yeah, and did other fun stuff and other things like that. But that was structured in the way that you had to succeed and you could succeed, and I succeeded well. Came home, so lost 126 pounds. Chris said on the show the other night, the first 3 months, lost 67 pounds the next 6 months because real life came in, you know?
In 67 pounds in 6 months, I just got to throw this out there.
It's awesome.
It's freaking
awesome.
That's
what I'm saying. It is awesome.
Yeah, but we would get on the scale, and we would laugh at each other because we'd be like, oh, my God, you only lost 8 pounds this week. You know? And it would be like, this is awful.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to lose 8 pounds every week. You know? You know, 1 to 2 pounds is a safe weight loss,
that's
you know?
Right.
And it's like, they want me to lose 15 pounds this week. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm going along with this.
Yeah.
But okay.
Right.
Yeah, the rest of us look at, you know, once a month I'm down a pound and a half. Go, woo-hoo.
You
know,
and
that's
you should.
The way it should.
And you should. And you should.
That's the way. I mean, we still weigh once a week.
That's right.
And, you know, he's losing and he has a 1 to 2 pound weight loss now. And it's like, I only lost 1.5 pounds this week. And I'm like, Rod. That's where you need to be.
I mean, with 1 week, I lost 0.4 pounds, and we were jumping up and down. I was excited because it was a loss.
It's a loss.
You're going in the right direction.
That's right. Okay.
Poor Megan's been hanging on the line here for about the past 20 minutes. Let's get to her if we can here on Perspectives. Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks.
Rod, I just want to say, first of all, congratulations. Your episode was very inspiring. I loved watching you have success and love your positive attitude. I know you're there with Kim today.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hello. You know who this is, Mallory.
Oh, yeah. And just knowing the kind of gym that Sweat is and seeing you on the show doing things like the color run and even Empire State Building that was with people and just how valuable that can be to have that social aspect to training and social aspect to kind of helping things move in a positive way. I was wondering if you could talk about that, the importance of sort of having a social connection to people as you go on this journey.
Megan, you are a mind reader, and it's good to hear from you, by the way. How are you doing? We were just talking about this on the way home, on the way here, about the social aspect of it and how important that is. And I don't know if it's important for everybody, but it is certainly important for me, and it is what truly helped the success for me, is to have like a support group. And that is certainly what happens at Sweat Therapy every single time, not only with Kim and Brian Bebo, but those great women and men who work there, they just make you feel, Tom, like you're part of a group. You
and
know?
The other clients. It's
right.
a community.
And that's right. And everybody else who works there. And the other people who work out there can be the most inspiring and motivational of all. You know, and that people notice when you start to lose weight or they, you know, and it's just really, really awesome. My favorite Sondheim musical, Stephen Sondheim, genius, is a musical called Sunday in the Park with George. And that is a musical that deals with art and commerce and other things. But the word, the verb that comes out of that show is the word connect. And we're human beings, and we were meant to connect. That's what we were meant to – that's why that puts us a little different than some other species. We're supposed to connect. And so I loved in the show when he comes to surprise me and my apartment is in disarray and my life was a wreck. And he said, do you have other people, like anybody else who – You know that is trying to lose weight or do you have a group? And I burst into tears and I said, no. I know that I am loved and people have been drawn to me, but I didn't have a group of people like that. And so we went to a support group. And Kim has had this. She has a thing called Sweat Chat when she does certain projects with weight loss. And that was I always say it's like – essential to Megan is right. It is crucial for me to the success of this journey is to have other people there who are going through it because it lets you know you're not alone. And sometimes you think you're the only one. I'm the only one who's having this problem with food. I'm the only one who can't lose. You know, and you're not.
Right. Yeah.
And that positive reinforcement, you know, is just critical.
It's everything.
Yeah. And you learn. You know,
yes.
You learn from other people, and it's like, you know what? You mean they actually have small at McDonald's? I thought it was just all supersized
right.
stuff. You mean I could go to McDonald's and order something small?
Right. Right.
You know, but learning, you
yes.
know, from other people. And like Rod said, we're meant to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that village. Find that village, whatever it is, and make sure they're making you a better person.
That's right. That's
know?
Right, because there's the other side of that,
yeah, because you can easily get brought down into
negative
you know,
energy and all kind of mess.
Yeah, and that changes, too, because, like, your friends that you used to go eat pizza with, maybe, they don't want to go eat salads anymore.
Yes, but like people in a 12-step program, you know, need a substitute for the drinking buddies.
That's right.
That's right.
Perspectives, Rod Durham and also Kim Thibault, our guests here today. 414-1234, the local number, it's 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. Gentleman who appeared this week on ABC's Extreme Weight Loss, ending a one-year campaign to shed a couple hundred pounds. You start out, what, Roger? I'm about four? What was
448.
It? 448. Uh-huh. And you are down now to?
260 is what I got down to at the finale.
Uh-huh.
We've gained a little. If I'm going to be honest, but
yes.
we know what to do to lose that too. So,
but he's been, you know, he weighs every week.
Yes.
It's feedback. It's not failure.
That's right.
You know? But, you know, a lot of times we, like, run from the scale. We hide from the scale. You know, I don't think you should get on the scale every day, but at least once a week, get on there, take ownership of it, and figure out what you're going to do with it,
that's
you know?
Right.
And it's within your control. You have all the tools.
Yes.
You know? And so that's one of the things that now that the show is over – and we're kind of, you know, getting back into some normalcy.
Yes.
It's like, where do we go from here?
That's right.
You know,
right.
What's your plan? Because you got to come up with a plan. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a plan, you know, where in the heck are you going?
No, and I don't succeed without a plan
right.
or without preparation.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just don't drive to the airport and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I think I'm going to go here.
Right.
So we get up, you know, and so that's one of the things that, you know, start back in Chris's book, not that – Chris has asked us to come here and plug his book. But that carb loading program
yeah.
that he has
yes.
is phenomenal.
That's right.
And it worked for you.
That's right.
You know, and but it's got to be when you're ready.
That's right.
When you're ready to do it.
That's
and
right.
I can't be here saying, okay, Rod, today's the day. Today's
right.
the day. Today's the day. Because I know in my personal experience, you know, if somebody came here and told me I couldn't eat liver again, I would go search for liver. So, you know, it's got to be when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you know.
Well, how do you tell what really works, though? Because the old saw, of course, is decrease the calories, increase the physical activity, and it may take more time, it may take less time, but you're going to get where you want to go. But there are so many magic bullets out there, whether it's specialty exercise programs, whether it's, the all-fungus diet or whatever. And you know, there's so much of that out
and
there.
And if all that worked, we'd all be skinny,
right,
talking about something else. But, you know, it's just there's not a magic bullet. And, you know, it is that calories in, calories out, and it's trying to – all food is not created equal, you know, and unfortunately all those aisles that you were talking about, all that packaged food, I mean, we have more packaged food now,
right,
you know. If a food label promises to deliver some kind of special thing to you, you need to probably put it down and walk away, you know, because it's not going to be in that package.
That's right.
It's going to be, you know, in the produce department.
That's
or,
right.
You
that's
know,
right. That's right.
So it's, you know, it is finding out what works, you know, and keeping that calories in. And they give you a calorie amount, and then basically you eat every 3 hours.
That's right.
You know, and that's what I've done. You know, that's what helped me get my 80 pounds off for the 12th time and kept it off, is I put myself on a feeding schedule. Every 3 hours I'm eating small meals. Sometimes I'm eating my meal thinking about my next meal. Or don't you love it when you eat something and you like look in the package and like, oh, this package was – they didn't put enough in this. Oh, this one missed out on the assembly line. There was no way there was 8 ounces in here.
Yeah, that's Hershey shrinking the candy bars again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The M&Ms, they do it every time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because of my body weight and the testing that we did at the University of Colorado Medical Center, I found out that I was allowed a certain amount of calories a day. And that was, for me, it was 2250, which is a lot, which is a lot. And so we kind of broke that down to about 430 calories every meal, pretty much. And so and we would do it 5 times a day, depending on when you got up. You would eat within the first 30 minutes, and then 3 hours later, and then 3 hours later. And, you know, and people say your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner can be the maybe more substance in those meals than the two kind of in between morning and afternoon snacks. But for me, sometimes they weren't. Sometimes those were the ones that were that had more.
How does a teacher do it? So many times I hear people say, oh, there's no way I can eat that often, or you just don't understand my job, or I forget to eat, or anything like that.
Well, you pack your food, first of all,
okay,
you know, and I have a refrigerator and a microwave in my room. I don't know if that's essential, because you can go to the workroom that every department has and put your food in there. You just have to – the issue, I think, with teaching is that you're in the middle of, you know, in the lecture, oh, it's time. Okay, hold on a second. Well, we'll talk about dangling participles in a minute. I got to go eat. You know, but you just kind of figure it out, and you do, and you tell. And I tell my students, if you see me eating, doesn't mean you can eat. But I have to, especially when I was in the program, because I have to keep my metabolism burning. So you can do it. That's not, you know, I've heard that too. You know, and I used to be that. I used to say that. You know, I can't do that. I'm teaching all day, and then because if you don't eat between those. I am not a fan anymore of the big jumbo meal at the you know, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and then once at night. If you eat every 3 hours or whatever you do every 4 hours, you know, you're not hungry. That's what it was for me, is that I would be starving, and so then you overload, you know. But if you eat every 3 hours, your body will tell you when it's time to eat again. You feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. That it took a little while for that to happen, but then when you feel it, you eat, and then you're good until the next meal.
And those portions get smaller and smaller because you're just kind of portioning it out.
That's right.
Okay, Jim adds to the conversation there on the same topic we were just talking about. Hey, Jim, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and I'd like to take a moment of your time to say basically this. I want to congratulate Rod for applying the discipline to himself that he applied to his students.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Yes.
Very important that he did this, and the students in his drama classes have gone forward, and I want to tell him right away that this is Jim Roche in Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh.
And Waylon Roche has already been on his first off-Broadway play.
Yes, sir.
And is now has been called back for a film.
I'm so proud of him.
Durham put the discipline in him that it took to do that, and now Rod has applied it to himself, and I want to congratulate it, and I'll take my your commentary off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, so much. It's so good to hear from you. That is my child, Jim's son, Waylon, and I'm so proud of him. You know, when you hear that, I'm trying not to get all emotional.
Get emotional.
But I forget. You know, it's easy to forget when you get wrapped up in all of this other stuff. That's what he just said, the discipline that those students of mine are able to find or learn, maybe from me as their teacher.
Own it.
I got to apply to myself. At the 6 month, the 3 month weigh-in, I got very emotional, crying. I was crying that show. I'm like, okay. But, Tom, I was crying because I said, I always wonder what would it feel like if I shined all of the love and positive energy that I do towards other people on myself. And what it felt like was I lost 126 pounds.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
You put yourself if I'm going to do the mantra right now, everybody take out a piece of paper. These are the rules that helped me succeed. If you want to do it, was put myself first.
Yeah.
That was everything because I have always been defined myself on making sure how everybody else was doing. If you were doing great and Kim was doing great and Jeremy was doing great and Brian was doing great, then I was doing my job. I was doing great. You know, mm-hmm. If everybody else was good, I was good. But that wasn't the truth, you know. So putting yourself first is huge. Keeping promises to yourself. Kim had alluded earlier about, you know, I'm going to start September 1st. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll start on Monday. No, I'm really going to start in 2 hours. In 2 hours, I'll do it. You know, I'll do it when I get up. I know I'm going to do it. And I would never do that, right? Yeah. So I would break my back to keep my promise to you or to her or anybody else. But to myself, I never would. And your integrity takes a little hit every time. Now, you don't think about it. You're just doing, you know, you're tired or you don't want to do it. You don't think about it, your psyche, but it does. It takes a hit every time. So when I said I would get up at 5:30 in the morning, I would get up at 5:30 in the morning, even if I didn't go to bed until 11, because I wanted to keep that was crucial, keeping my promises. And then when you start doing that and seeing results, you just keep doing that, right? Put yourself first. I think keeping your promises to yourself and honestly, all those self-help words are true. Loving yourself. That was huge for me. I had a huge event that happened on my show early on, which set me free and I helped me be authentic and really helped me to love who I am, in my soul. So all this, the weight loss, right, the eating, all of that comes as a byproduct of those things, of putting yourself first, of keeping your promises to yourself, and of loving yourself in whatever order you want to put those first three in. Then all that other stuff is like that science. That'll just happen.
Yeah.
But you can't do any of that. You can't do any of that success. You can't have any of that stuff if you don't take care of yourself first.
And the more you practice it.
Yes.
I mean, we're always not going to succeed.
That's right.
If we just keep practicing it.
That's right.
You know, and keep – because it's in there, you know, and we just got to bring it up to the front.
That's right.
You know, part of our brain.
And don't let yourself my dad used to say, buddy, don't be so hard on yourself. If you mess up or you slack off or whatever, okay, so what? You know, it doesn't have – you know, if I decide to go to IHOP and have like their supersized excitement extravaganza – that doesn't mean whole day.
You even know what it's called? Do they really have one?
No,
or did you make that up?
No, but Denny's does. Whatever. But you know, if you have that, that doesn't mean your lunch has to be that or your dinner has to be that.
Right.
Or if the whole day, if unfortunately the whole day is that, guess what? There's a new day tomorrow, and it doesn't have to be that the next day. It doesn't have to ruin the whole program or your whole plan. It just was a bad meal.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and get over it. And make sure you enjoyed it. Don't be that person that was suffering like, I ate that and now I feel awful. No. If you ate it, own it.
And
enjoy
if you're a good
it.
Person, by gosh, you're going to be a forgiving type of person, right?
That's right.
Even to yourself.
That's right.
But being a teacher, of course, Rod, you've got to be other-centric, which is what you have been all these years.
Yes.
And you have seen the increase in the average weight of your students over the years. One-third of the kids that you see now are obese.
That's right.
How important is it to set that example? Hey, if Mr. Durham can do it, man, I can do it.
I hope so. And that will, and that is, Tom, what will help me also maintain and stay in maintenance mode and keep this weight off, is that I am a bit of an example for my young people, whether I want to be or not.
And, that's our next. That's our next.
And that is our. That's kind of our. That's kind of our. That's my post-show plan, is that I want these young people to make it to 50. First of all. Because they won't if they continue these habits. I want them to enjoy their lives. I don't know anybody who loves being 450 pounds. I didn't love it. And you'll have some people, some guys and girls, oh, I'm thick. I know I look good. Okay, all of that is cool, but when you can't stand for more than whatever minutes, or you can't walk to the store, you can't, you know, those things are important. So we want to reach these young people, make exercise fun. Half the time it's because, I don't know how much fun they're having. And if you make it fun, they're going to want to do it. Kids are kids and they're going to want to eat junk. But there's healthier junk out there than right. What, you know what I mean? That there's just, it's all about choices. Heidi Powell says that.
And I think, you know, Rod and I have talked about this on many of our walks there, because when I graduated from Lincoln High School, I weighed over 200 pounds. You know, I didn't go on a date. I didn't play any sports or anything. I wasn't that girl.
Right.
There's a whole town, county of boys and girls that are not into the sports.
That's right.
What are they doing? You know, and that's, I think that's one of our goals, mm-hmm. is to, you know, especially the way he is with kids, young people, is to figure out what we can do to help those people that, you know, aren't into the sports.
That's
in
right.
this town.
That's right.
And figure out what we can do to help them have fun and find different ways of doing it, so they don't end up at 50 years old.
Right. And two and a half decades of their life spent at a weight that was a death sentence. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that you don't have
any
problem.
Of those things, diabetes, congenital heart disease, all and all that runs in my family,
cancers.
High blood pressure, all of that. My dad's a cancer survivor twice. Yes. You know, something was shining on me because I should have all of that. The doctor used to say that. You are an anomaly, he used to say. You're kind of a freak because you should have all of these things.
Yeah, even your skin. I mean, for losing 188 pounds,
yeah.
You know, most people are just like, it hangs off like
right.
a, you know, rag.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, there's something out there for you.
I've been touched.
Yeah.
Tightened and toned.
Yeah.
But that was part of the show, too, wasn't it? You were trying to get to a place where you could have kind of reconstructive surgery there.
Yes. So. And you can't see you doing anything. That, and so that's, I'm going to be candid and honest because I love perspectives and I love you. I will tell you, that was the hardest information to get, to be at the 9-month mark, to be told if you lose a certain percentage of your body fat that you would be able to see the skin surgeon. I just had it in my mind that I was going to get that surgery because I hit the 40%. And Dr. Gordon checked out my skin and it wasn't quite ready.
What was that you said on the show?
I felt like I got rejected from a club that I was never a member of in the first place. That was powerful for me too to see it because that is the one thing. And I was so I only lost 7 pounds. Even to say that sounds so stupid now. But in the culture of the show, I lost 7 pounds in the last 6 weeks, which is really not a huge success.
And they wanted you to lose, what, 25, 30?
35.
Yeah,
35.
In 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And he was pissed.
Yeah.
Got hurt.
And you were
just like, I'm done.
Yeah. And Chris Powell said on the show, he'll either make it motivate him and make him, you know, kill it, or it'll be the other thing. And for me, it was the other thing. And it just was, you know. That I don't. That's me.
That. Yeah. Was that the negative to the whole thing, though? Right? Because you were up against. I don't want to say that these were unrealistic or nasty goals
right.
that they had, but they had a certain thing too. Yeah. I'm sure folks on the show cared about you and all that.
Yeah.
But still, it's the drama. It's the audience.
Right.
It's the ratings and
that's
the
right.
revenues
that's
that
right.
drive
that's
this.
Right.
So.
That's right. I will tell you that. It is hard for me to put it on the show I always say this. I say because you want to say, I'll show them. But what it ended up being was, I'll show me. Right. You know what I mean? You turn it because they've moved on. They are a business. And any kind of moaning and complaining I will do, which some is very valid, will never, ever, ever equal what I got from this experience. Right? They helped me save my life. Mm-hmm. They did. I didn't do it before him and before this. They are the reason I know Kim Bebo.
Right.
All of that. You know. So it's not an even like thing, right? But I will say to you that they've moved on. They have gone on to season 5 cast members. And so any kind of like that I want to do, they look back and be like, anyway, we got stuff to do. So when you think you might be hurting them, you know, or showing them, or just angry with them, you're really showing you. Because they don't care. My contract was for a year. They're done.
Yeah, Rod's very goal-oriented. You know, tell me where I need to be. I'll get there. That's what he did. And then when he didn't get what he was supposed to get, it was like,
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right. And we're done, too. Rod Dyrum, thank you so much. And all the best to you. We'll see you back over at Leon, okay?
Buddy. Thank you. This is a pleasure. Thank you.
Kim Bebo, thank you so much for coming in, for all you've done here, too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls back there doing the phones and online connections and the technical stuff. I'm Tom Flanagan. We'll be joining you up again next week with more expert opinion and, of course, your input, too, right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.